Thank you. Encouraging morning?
Yeah.
I was actually really encouraged with what Steve had to say, and I just want to link into that with just a quick story from Andrew White, Vicar of Baghdad. One of the things that he did, probably not enough of on the evening, was to tell us some miracles. And one of the ones I particularly liked that he said was, so there he is in Iraq, and a man came to him and said, "My daughter is seriously ill with cystic fibrosis. In fact, she's on a ventilator. Can you come and see her and pray for her?" So he said, "No, just go back to your daughter and say three words, Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua." So the man went, and when he got to the hospital, the consultant came out to see him and said, "I'm so sorry, your daughter has died. She's in the side room." So he went over to the side room, and there she is in bed, and he just fell on his knees, put his arms around her, and cried out, "Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua." At which point, she sat up and asked for some food. So he went back to Andrew White and told him the story. He said, yeah, it's happened before. So I just thought it was rather nice. That encourages me to take us to 1 Kings 19. Very well-known story. I wasn't sure whether to mention this or Gideon, but I think we'll go for Elijah. Just a little small part of... No, I'm not. Elijah chapter, 1 Kings chapter 19. Starting at the beginning, and we'll dot around slightly. So verse 1, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he'd killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them.' Elijah was afraid and ran for his life." And then, as we know, a few verses later on, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." And then if we move on to verse 13... "Then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" Elijah had run away. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came." And then right at the end, it says this, "Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and all whose mouths have not kissed him." And it was just striking, I think, when listening to Steve, and I'd encourage Steve to tell us what Billy Graham UK is doing and also what's happening around. Because sometimes I think in any organization, and maybe as an individual in your churches, you can think like Elijah. You know, it's just, what's happening? I'm the only one left. And actually, it's good, isn't it, to be reminded. God says, "You know, you're not." Because he gets the big picture, and we sometimes get the small picture. You know, I'm just telling you, if I go back to what Steve was saying this morning, I mean, all of you will have known something of what's going on. I mean, the Message Trust, quite well known. J. John's event, pretty well known there. I think there's 15,000+ tickets have been sold. So that's each person bringing somebody else. That should be 30,000 people coming to the Emirates. That's good. You know, Hope 2018, we know about. But I didn't know about Stuart Bell's prophecy, for example. Anybody else not heard that before? So Stuart Bell's prophecy, you know, the church has wandered for 40 years, now we're camped on the edge of the Jordan. That's exciting. You know, there's work to do, but actually we're in position. And how much is going on with 40,000 online responses to the Lord? Praise God. But here's the thing. Isn't it a bit of a challenge for us as an organization? You know, we're not the only organization. We're not the only ones doing the stuff. That's why I wanted Steve to speak. I wanted to hear, and everybody else to hear, what else is going on around in the country. But it is a challenge to us. Now, this is where I begin to use my Dubry. Marvellous. So, technology always excites me when it works. If I did this in my church, it would not work. Simple as that. So David Baslington, Mike, hats off. Wonderful. Hats off. Huh? Special dispensation for being here, maybe. But no, I'm very excited about, because what I think I'm learning is that all these different organizations work in different ways. But what is God saying to us at TFM individually, and how can we collaborate better with other organizations? Social media is a massive challenge. I'm really encouraged. Christian Vision talked loads about how many people are coming to the Lord online across the world. You've just heard about England. We also heard about America, a ridiculous number in America. Was that really 40 million? 10 million. I mustn't exaggerate. 10 million in 10 years.
That's global.
Right. But that's just amazing. So for us as TFM and me as a complete non-techie, that's a big challenge. Yeah, where do we go with social media? It's a question that we're asking, having to work out. What's the way forward with social media? So it was a good flavor from Steve this morning. But moving on to TFM, we've had a consistent message at our last two retreats in December. The staff and trustees we've been going to Saffron Walden. And the consistent message that's come out in the view of where we are in England today is that Romans 10 still applies to us as an organization. So I was very pleased when Paul Preston referred to it earlier, but Romans 10 really applies. We are go evangelists. We travel from place to place and we preach the gospel. We've reiterated that. That's what we've always done, and that is what we will always do as an organization. So we'll always do mission, but we need to consider, are there, in addition to standard practices, if you like, are there new ways of working? So the question really is, how should we reach out? The good news is mission requests are still coming in. Roger mentioned some this morning. So after Sumatra in August, I will be with Roz in Purley, which is near Reading, and in Breeston, which is near Derby. That's in the autumn, September and October. At the moment, we're looking at big missions in Anglesey. David Culhane, myself and Roz are going to Anglesey first 2 days in August. It's been delayed twice, so we should have been there already, but it's going to happen, we believe, a third time lucky, beginning of August, to look at hopefully a decent-sized mission in Anglesey. Roger and Jim will be talking to us about what's possible in Ireland. I don't know, so I won't steal your thunder because I'd be talking rubbish. So I'll leave that to you guys. We've also got Gordon Barker looking at Isle of Man 2. Again, we don't know where that's going at the moment, but these are things which I hope later on, when David leads the prayers, we can pray into. So these are some big possibilities for us as a medical mission team, but also for TFM. We'll have a split mission in January into Kenya, half medical team, half evangelists, as we did last year, which worked really successfully. And there's lots of small things coming up as well, in addition to across Britain. So there's plenty to get stuck into. Mission requests continue to arise. We've just had these missions that we looked at this morning in Uppingham and Bexhill. It's exciting. But I suppose the question for me is trying to think strategically, how can we be most efficient, bearing in mind where we are in the UK now, but also bearing in mind who we are as TFM? How can we be most efficient in 2017? How can we work most smartly? When I went to Christian Vision, I was very excited. I've been there twice in Birmingham. I was amazed as a non-techie to see all these computers around this huge room. And one of them in particular was just lighting up. Oh, look, another four people have become Christians in Bangladesh. Oh, look, what's just happened over there in Australia. Bang, 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 bang. And it was all lighting up on the computer and the numbers were rising. It's really exciting that people are logging on what's happening around the world and they're responding in different ways, whether it's to, as Steve was saying for Billy Graham, sometimes it's these wonderful videos that they've produced. Sometimes it's literature. Sometimes it's online. I think it's a real challenge for us. How can we work the most smart? I don't need to look that way. Look at the screen over there. How marvelous. I've just that screen was there last year, wasn't it? Gosh, it's so good. In that case, I won't keep turning around. That's so exciting. Yeah, you can turn around and look at this one as well if you want to. But. So what we're really talking about is how can we do the old that we've always done well, but add in new stuff as well. So what does new mean, and how do the two fit together? I was excited when I first heard that Daniel had been involved in something like 10,000 people coming to Christ over 30 years. Yeah, that's a wonderful lifetime's experience Peter Adams and others in this room have seen so many come to Christ. Things, the old stuff still works. The vicar who's going to be marrying my older daughter next Saturday, he asked me to speak in his church. I've never done that before. This is in Broadstairs, where I come from. And afterwards he said to me, do you know, I'd love to do Alpha, he said. Now, yeah, how many of us have been involved in Alpha courses? Yeah, probably most of us. I've been involved, I think, something like 20 courses over time. But they'd never done one in that place. So I said to him, okay, well, you know, we've got a choice. We could either do it for your relatively small church, or we could leaflet the whole parish. Now, and that's the first question. The second thing is, do we use talks, or do we use the Nicky Gumbel talks, or do we use live talks? Then, of course, Alpha have just produced a new video. Any of you seen the new video? Yeah, it's quite, do you like it? Yeah, it's quite interesting. Very different from the old style. So it's no longer a sort of Nicky Gumbel lecture. It's a couple of youngsters walking around, chatting, sort of a little bit here, a little bit there. It's a whole range of sound bites from different people around the world, and then a bit of a Gumbel at the end. So in other words, Alpha had taken something. Well, we all know. I won't do an impression because my teeth aren't white enough. But you know, Nicky Gumbel does things wonderfully. But you know, he's had the humility to say, actually, maybe we need to do things differently in 2017. That's why it's come out. So we've still got the old videos. We can use them, and maybe we will do in St. Peter's in Broadstairs, or maybe we'll use the new stuff, or maybe we'll have live talks. So there's the old and the new working together. Now, one of the things that because I think I mentioned this last year, that has concerned me for some time, and apologies to all those from Guildford who heard this 4 days ago. So even at our stage in life, you won't have forgotten from 4 days ago. Okay? You better not have done, because I may test you, actually. I know you're just standing there. But one of the things that concerned me for some time was how I think, and you know, forgive me if I'm being unfair, but I think we have overemphasized our mission teams coming into an area over and above the locals themselves. So locals have become a sort of optional extra, a rather nice thing. Come and join us. So what we've tended to do, maybe it's just me, but what I've tended to do in the past is to say, this is our mission team, this is what we can do for you. And at the end, say to them, oh, it'd be awfully nice if you joined us. That'd be super. And some do, and they have a wonderful time. They come on the doors and they run a home meeting. But it's been an optional extra. It's not been the main event. And it struck me as an issue, really. And so I had this strong sense before taking on the job to say, no, we need to make the locals the main event rather than us being the main event. Now, it doesn't always work out. I would say in Uppingham, probably we were still the main event. But the sort of disparity between the away team and the home team, that gap is shifting. And one day I would really like it to shift the seesaw to completely tip, such that the home team are absolutely the main event with us backing them up. Of course, we've got the extra experience, I don't deny that, and also the gifting within this room. But I think the home team needs to be the main event. And the reason is that if the home team are not the main event, that detracts from the week itself, and it definitely detracts from follow-up, and it detracts ultimately from legacy. So I think these are three main areas where if we can really emphasize the home people, that'll be good. I can't remember what I said on the next tee. Let's have a look. And the problem, really, is at the beginning of the mission, and I'm as guilty as anybody for saying, this is what we can do. Nowadays, I say, this is what you can do. And we'll join you, we'll back you up, but you are the main event. In other words, the problem, in a sense, is at the beginning of the mission, not at the end of the mission. Because I've been on missions, and probably we could all put our hands up. Cornwall, too, was a massive example where the follow-up was non-existent because the home team, and particularly the vicar, never really bought into the mission at all. That will never happen to me again. That was such a searingly bad experience. I love the mission, but the follow-up was so bad, from my point of view, I sort of made an internal decision. That'll never, ever happen to me or any of my teams ever again, because I'm going to spot it at the beginning and do something about it right from the start. So, you know, probably we've all seen that where follow-up hasn't been as good as it could have been. But it's about dealing with it right from the beginning. So the idea was to say to the local teams, the home teams, if you like, I want to emphasize you more. Now, Roger Morgan, hands up who knows Roger Morgan. Dan, obviously. Yeah, you worked together with him before I knew Roger, 30-odd years ago. Something very interesting happened. I think this was God at work, how he began to help me help other people more. Roger Morgan came into my life in May 2015. So 2 years ago, he came on the Congleton mission. And he came because he wanted to see how TFM worked now, having worked with Daniel so many years previously. He'd known the church army lady. I think she'd sort of been one of his early disciples years and years ago. And she was the church army evangelist in Congleton. So Roger came along. And he said to me right at the beginning, he said, "I don't believe that door-to-door works anymore. It's from the past." Which was a blow as a team member with me leading the mission, you see. So I said to him, "I think you're wrong. Come on the doors and then make a decision in 8 days' time." And he completely changed his view over those 8 days. He saw some good conversations. He saw that it was still applicable, which is why he now asked me to bring in our mission teams to do door-to-door on his missions because of what he saw in Congleton. But he was of the view that, no, oh, we need something new. That's the old. And I was saying to him, I like new, but I also like old. And the old, in my view, still works. So Roger Morgan came. And he's asked us to come. That's why we're going to Purley, Breeston near Derby, and Bedworth next year. So any of you fancy a trip to Bedworth, we need to get some more mission team members for Bedworth near Coventry next year. But what Roger does is really very interesting. He's got all these vicars he equips around the country, and he said to them recently, "What's the thing that your church does worst?" And he gave them 10 different areas, you know, worship, Bible study, etc., etc. One of them was evangelism. And a certain number has picked evangelism as the thing that they did worse in their church and wanted to do better. And he said, "Right, well, I will come and I will help you." And together, that's what we're doing. So he's identified the vicars and he's using us to help train his people. Well, that's very, very good. But what I learned from Roger is this. Let's move on to the next slide. He achieves greater local buy-in by being completely ruthless in the first minute of his first sermon in church to local people. Now, I don't know how you would approach it. Just imagine, I've never met any of you before. There'd be a bit of gentle flannel, a little bit of lovely to see you. You know, I've been in Coventry, I support Coventry City or something like that. Roger Morgan's first line is this: "I'm here to recruit you." So there's no flannel at all. And he says, and his last line is, "Unless 10 of you sign up right now, we're going home." He's tough. And I'm thinking, ooh, is he going to get away with this? Is he genuinely going to get away with this? He does say that D2D, door-to-door, is optional, which is fair. But he also says every single one of you will run a home meeting. "I will allow 2 of you to join together." So it's not quite true, every one of you. But if there's 60 people here, that will be a minimum of 30 and preferably 60 home meetings. And he gives the example of one mission where he'd done where one person had a home meeting in their house every single night of the mission. So that's what's possible. But he's saying to them, laying it on the line right from the beginning, "You are all involved. You are the main event." So I thought, okay, that's very interesting. Does it work? Well, these are relatively small churches. In Purley, 22 signed up straight away and came to our first training. In Breeston, same sort of church, about 60 people there, 35 came to the training. Now, that's not bad statistically. It's not perfect, but it's not bad. In Uppingham, in January, at our first training, we had 46 local people, and then 7 extras came to the second training. So suddenly, rather than just a handful of people getting involved with our mission teams, the numbers have switched. So I've been on teams in the past where maybe we've had 20 people and 2 or 3 locals. That's not ideal. In Uppingham, we had 21 of us, but 50-odd locals. You know, the seesaw has completely swung. Now, granted, we still do, you know, door-to-door all the time, and the locals will join in when they can. But it's moving in the right direction, so I'm really encouraged. And the way that Morgan does it, he likes to have the away team, i.e. the TFMers, being 2/5 in number of the home team. That's his formula. So that's what we'll apply to Purley and to Breeston and to Bedworth next year. Now, in Guildford 2 days ago, they said to me, "Look, okay, we're interested in hearing what you're saying." I'd spoken, Roger Murphy had very kindly asked me to speak at the FPE, Fellowship of Parish Evangelists Conference, in his place in January. So that's very kind, gave me an opportunity to meet people. And one of the guys, who's a vicar from Guildford, said, "Come and speak to our Guildford Forum of Evangelists." Now, Guildford's an interesting place in that they've had a new bishop for the last year or so who's really keen on evangelism. We've got this chap, Stephen Cox, who asked me to speak, plus a guy called Alan Hoam, sort of diocesan evangelist's advisor in the area. And they got us together. But the issue I had was, what am I going to offer these guys? How can I say to them, how can I tempt them to work with me? And how can I work with them? What am I going to offer them? Because this is a forum of evangelists. And what in my experience in the past of evangelists, say at Jay John's conference or elsewhere, is that people have got their own agenda. And they're very good at plugging their own agenda, but they're not so good at working with other people's agendas. How can we get our agendas sort of together? And that was the issue I had. Now, last year I produced what I thought would be good for Across Britain, which is a training course for Joe Average Christian across the country. And I produced a particular 1-3-1 approach, where one is the Saturday training, three is a mission weekend, a three-day weekend, and then the one is a follow-up Saturday morning. That was my approach, and I thought I would be able to get this around the country and everybody would sign up to it, at least a proportion of people would sign up to it. But what I've learned over the last few months is that people write into me and they want something different. They quite like what you're offering, but they just don't want it on a 1-3-1 approach. They want it tailored to themselves. So I'm thinking, well, I need to be much, much more flexible here. I need to offer, you know, I've got the material, but I need to do it in different ways. So just looking at the screen, the key is flexibility. And I've now got five different options to offer people. And this seemed to go down quite well in Guildford, as I'll tell you in a moment. So I'm not sure if I put it on the next screen. Have I? Let's have a look. Yes, I have. We'll just go back. So I've got five options at present. Three are just simply training, and two involve training and mission. Now, in Guildford, I was saying to the guys, these are all evangelists. My experience of talking to evangelists is that if you say to evangelists, let's just train up your people, they'll say, it won't work. Training without mission is training in a vacuum. You've got to give people a mission to get stuck into. And I'm seeing some heads nodding. So I said, fine, I don't mind that. Except that some other ministers have said to me, we just want training, we don't want the mission. And if I force them to do the mission, they wouldn't get the training. So I don't want to cover my nose to spite my face, really. So I thought, well, let's offer both and see what people take up. So this is where I am at the moment. We've got three purely training options and two training and mission. You can read it as well as I can on the screen. But the first one I'm going to be doing in a place called Abingdon near Oxford in October, where they've simply asked for one weekend. So I need to compress my one approach into a weekend. And at the end of the weekend, we'll take them on the streets. I might say, in Uppingham in March, it was so exciting to me. We've got our five-question TFM questionnaire, which we've used for all these years. And Roz and others went out on the streets with the local people. And what was so exciting, these are people who have never done any active evangelism on the streets before in their lives. One man was 75 years old, and I gave them an hour and a quarter, and then come back, stand on stage, and tell us how you got on. You should have seen their faces. They were absolutely beaming. This 75-year-old man, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. It's amazing. You know, it was just so encouraging to me that people, you know, using our questionnaire just for the first time, even for just a short time, as we know, every time we go out, things happen. I've never, ever, ever done any door-to-door session without at least two really good conversations every single time. I mean, anybody else had that experience? Yeah, I mean, has anybody ever done door-to-door and never had a good conversation on one particular session? Yeah. That's David, then. That's David. So, but I mean, it's unusually, isn't it? It's really quite unusual. God just supplies, he encourages us, and then he gives us those opportunities. So it's just encouraging to see it once again in 2017, you know, in contradistinction to what Roger Morgan thought a couple of years ago in Congleton, the questionnaires to work, people use them, and the Christians come back beaming, let alone the people that we've spoken to. So we've got this one weekend of training. That's one option. The 1-3-1 model remains there. Now, the two training Saturdays lead into mission. So that's what we did in Uppingham. Two training Saturdays, with the end of the second one, the second afternoon being the practical thing. So that's one way of doing it. Then we've got the training Saturday mornings leading to mission. This is Roger Morgan's model. So what we're doing with him, 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock, three Saturdays running, with the third one being, I think it's going to be pretty well entirely practical. And what he does a different way of approach, where he and I alternate half an hour. So within a four-hour period, so that's eight lots of half an hour, we'll have half an hour coffee break and therefore seven talks, and we'll alternate. So he did four the first time, I did three the second time. What we're going to be doing in Derby, so it's going to be the second Derby weekend on June the 24th, we're doing exactly the same talks, but the other person's giving them. Very interesting approach. I've not seen it work before. I don't know whether it will work, but we'll see. I can report back to you afterwards. And then the third one is almost certainly going to be just a practical approach. But the idea, once again, is to give people the theory and then the practice before the mission and saying to them, you are the main event. And I'll be really intrigued to see out of all these people he's challenged to do home meetings, how many definitely take it up, because he's challenged them very toughly to do so. He is of the view, and I'm interested to see what this room thinks, that the most successful element of a mission are the home meetings. I'm not sure I agree with him. Now, hands up who thinks the most successful element numerically in a mission are door-to-door. Okay, so that's over half. This is a TFM audience though, of course. Who thinks the most successful element are the big meetings? So, now, these are some of the preachers, some of the senior preachers have got their hands up. And who thinks the most successful element are the home meetings? Two. Interesting, isn't it? I don't know, but I'll be interested to see what Roger, because Roger's completely adamant. You know, if we invite people, friendship evangelism is the way forward in his view, in this country, in this day and age. Hello there, someone speaking. Tom. I'm not saying they aren't, but I'm just saying which is the most successful. Is there a most successful? No, I'm very encouraged that the great majority of hands went up for door to door. Because I think probably in Uppingham, where we've just been, the door-to-door was the most successful. Although George's preach was also very effective on the last Sunday. Yeah, exactly. It's a stepwise approach. Yeah, Dave. Well, I'll let you know after Derby and Brixton, Derby and Purley. I'll let you know. Yes, Sir Philip. Well, very nice in Uppingham what they did, which was very effective. So we finished the mission, obviously, on the second Sunday. The next Wednesday, so 3 days later, and the Wednesday following, they invited all the response cards, all the people who responded, to a friendship meeting, you know, a bit of wine, a bit of cheese, and a chat. And then the same the following Wednesday. And then they had five planned. I think they're probably going to do three follow-up courses. So the follow-up was extremely, extremely well organized. But you're absolutely right. We need to know what the discipleship is. And certainly Roger Morgan says that, you know, you can't tell the success of a mission for a year. Give it a year, and then we'll see how many people have developed. I think the lady, you put your hand up in front. Yeah.
You probably know everyone there. And you've got...
So the follow-up's easier.
As well as everything else for those people.
Yeah.
With the follow-up.
Yeah. Thank you. Bernard, you had your hand up.
I think in a one-to-one basis, you can get people into the discussion without people being inhibited by all the other people in there.
So the advantage of one-to-one. Yeah. Yeah, good point. Yes, Ronnie.
And that door,
yeah.
We represent Jesus and that the church that we are present, and then when we've done that, go through the server for sometimes they pray. Some of the last I came across did receive Jesus.
But the one-to-one approach, which Bernard is linking in with that, is that's a good point. Yeah. Okay. I'll let you know next year or before then. Moving on. Yeah. Yes. True.
More resistance to cold calling.
Well, one way was the home meeting, actually, because we had one whole estate in Uppingham, which was we weren't allowed to touch. It's right at the beginning of the estate. We couldn't even go in there. But at the home meeting I went to, it's on that estate, and one of the ladies invited her neighbours. So it wasn't a cold calling. It was friendship evangelism, so it gets around that problem. But it can be an increasing problem with the no cold callers. So just moving on, we've got these different options, and I'll be going to Donna Searle's church in Linton in October as a vicar in Nottingham, one or two other people who are looking at the various options. What I think I've learned is that certainly one size doesn't fit all. We need to be really flexible about, well, certainly I need to be really flexible about what's on offer, and probably will increase the number of options over the next year as people say, actually, this is what I want from you. I'm hardly going to say no. Okay, we can discuss it, but I think we need to, you know, be very, very flexible with what people want and tailor it to their needs. Some will only go for training. We'll always offer them going on the streets, even if they say, let's just have training rather than mission, fine, but we must have the practical side of training as well. And then I hope that will ultimately lead to missions, because that's my sense, is if we can do some across Britain training, at the same time I'll be plugging future missions. Also, we're hoping that each one leads to another. Say, for example, in Uppingham, the next door town was Oakham. And the chapter, the Anglican chapter in Uppingham, plus the Methodist minister, having enjoyed the mission that they had, were then going to talk in Oakham to the people there. So I'm hoping that one will lead to another. I haven't had a message back from that yet, but that's what I'm hoping. So we can build. If you have a small thing to start with, you can build in it. Yes, Bernard? Mm. Yeah. Thank God I'm an atheist. Yeah. Yes, Tom. There's obviously very passionate people for door-to-door here. I'll keep us on track. That's a good point, but I'll keep you on track for the where we're going at the moment. Fair enough. Let me move forward. The possibilities and flexibility and different ways of doing mission have led Paul Preston, myself, and the trustees to think about this thing called Walk Across Britain. And David, how long have I got? Have I got till 1:30 or till 1:45? That was the right answer. That's good. That's good. Because this is something I want to sort of my watch is not 10 minutes. My watch says 20 past here, David. It's okay. I want to put this to you because we really need some wisdom in this room about whether you think this is possible or not. So Walk Across Britain. Oh, now, this is a letter. Can you read it? If you can't, I'll read it out. It should probably easier if I read it out. Can you read it? Okay. Oh, it's bigger on your screen, of course, than on mine. That's good. This is a letter I got from Peter Adams just weeks before he died. And I went to see Peter the day before he died in hospice, and he just about was able to say to me, what about some sort of cross Britain walk? So it stuck with me, not only because he'd written to me, but because this is effectively his last words and to TFM on this earth. And I thought, my goodness, what am I going to do with that? And I knew it'd been a passion, but that the timing had never been right in the past. And the question really is what to do with what Peter Adams had given. Was the timing right now or not? Now, humanly speaking, let me move on to the next slide. Humanly speaking, there are many reasons not to proceed now. You know, TFM at the moment, we're down to about 150 active evangelists. We've got staff in very small number. There's reasons why we think logically we shouldn't do this. But we've put it out to the trustees, and we've had some good responses. I would say 2/3 of which are positive towards some sort of walk across Britain, and 1/3 less positive. So even within the trustees, there's a sort of mix of opinions. One thing we do need is a Minister of Missions, and we've talked about this, haven't we, for some time. As yet, the right person hasn't dropped through our orbit, but we do now have some money to pay them, which is good news and encourages me to think that now we've got some cash, maybe the post will be filled. So we need some sort of Minister of Missions. And I think flexibility will be the key. We need to be able to offer a whole range of different things, as we tend to do on walks anyway, but particularly not just missional activities, but training and or missional activities, and maybe even healing on the streets and other approaches as well. So this is where we're going at the moment, and what I want you to think about right now. So here's a thought. It's often been said to me, and I've read about it, and people email me, and you know, TFM really want another walk. You know, the last walk was the one that Peter Adams put together at the Two Rivers. That's May 2014. That's quite a long time. That's 3 years ago. It's quite a long time ago. And we'd love another walk. And there may well be TFMers out there, not here today, not part of town missions, who would come on a walk mission. So we might get more than 150. I don't know. But we will need a lot of people if we're going to do this. But the TFM wants another walk. We've got all this experience in the past. We're going to be flexible, emphasising home teams. But is now the time for some sort of walk? So I talked to David Baslington, and then Roy Bradfield very kindly put some thought together as well. And we looked at all our TFMers. If I move on to here, let's have a little look. Now, that's the right-hand side of this. That's the right-hand map. These are our trained walkers and where they live. Beautifully dotted around the country. Who's that down there? I wonder. Oh, is it Vinny? Oh, it's Vinny. Of course it is. Yeah, it's Vinny. Yeah. I see that you've left me off, David. So the point of Kent. Yes. So that's where we are at the moment. We could obviously put someone like Gordon Barker in the Isle of Man, but these are people who've attended retraining last year. Now, then... Yes. You're in Edinburgh. Did you come to retraining? Did you come to retraining? In that case, mea culpa. Or in fact...
No, seriously.
Yeah. No, we've always wanted. We've worked everywhere apart from Scotland, at the moment. Yeah, we haven't done a mission there yet, not yet. But I know, and it's been on my heart, Scotland, absolutely. Sorry. Yeah. Whenever you show a map like this, there's always exceptions. So there may be more. But here's the intriguing thing: if we turn that into a cross. Look at where the distribution of people are. Roy's done some rather wonderful work there. The centre of that map is apparently Lichfield in Birmingham. And weren't we saying last year that across Britain should start in the Midlands? West Midlands. David Worley. Yeah. And we have been trying. It just hasn't quite happened yet.
I'm hoping to
Are you? Good. Please do. Get him to invite me up, that'd be good. But what we're thinking about something now is something quite different, really. It's an approach of doing missions and missional activities in the form of a cross across Britain, including Scotland. And who knows about Ireland? Not quite sure yet. We'll hear later. And that's what the cross looks like in numerical terms. So that's really quite interesting. So that's what we've got at the moment. Let's go on to the next slide. So what we do in each area will be different, and I want to hear your views on possibilities. We could do a whole range of activities as we've done in the past, from training and mission, something completely unstructured, open fields, home meetings and big events. But we would need, if that's the case, each person on that map, and even people like Ali who are not on the map, to act as the local rep in their area, setting up events in their area, across the cross, as it were. It'd be great to do some spearheading, This, I think, is genuinely a chance to reignite the lost TFMers, the lost sheep, and maybe new people will catch the vision. And if we did this, I would put it onto Hope, get it onto their website, get the Evangelical Alliance on it. We might well draw more people in and other organizations collaboratively to do stuff in the form of the cross. That would be really exciting because we're going to need an awful lot more than 150 people. Yes, Philip? Walking from place to place. So at the moment, we've got, if somebody else, let's say I'm in East Kent and I run some events in East Kent, that's lovely, but they would just be in East Kent and somebody else do it in Canterbury and somebody else do it in Dartford. But what about having the spearhead teams walking from place to place? That would restrict us because some of us are getting older. But yes, David.
When Paul got the call to go to Macedonia,
yeah.
He didn't have a big team, but he went and then built a team once he got there from place to place. Surely with training, as you go on, you can get people along the route. Very possible.
The timing would have to be thought about, whether we all did it at the same time or not.
Prayer.
Yeah. Yes, Claire. I've worked with Lindsay Heyman once, yes. Taking the cross. Yeah, I like it. Yes, Tom.
How about going into the TFM archive and calling all the previous churches throughout all the missions? It's a logistical nightmare. That's why we've got computers. To call out their, their people that believe in Jesus to come and join this. They'll be flooding from all, hopefully, from all parts of the country.
David, are you jotting all this down? Excellent. That's good. Yes, Dan.
I think you've got to ask yourself the question, why are you doing this? And you've got the logistics of men and women being together. Now, I would never want to put, this is just me being old fashioned, but I would never want to put ladies in church hall like blokes.
Well, in a sense, that's a detail. What we haven't got is it even agreed the principle of, I'm putting it forward to people today to say, what do you think of this? That's an important detail, but that's still a detail rather than the big picture of, is this for us? Can we do it? What do you think? That's where I'm up to at the moment, Dan. Then if we say yes, yeah, we need to work out how. But let's just move on to the next slide. We will be praying later, but we've got about 10 minutes now. Just let's have some general thoughts. Yes. Are you asking me or are you telling me? Sorry. Oh, yes. Yeah, and I've been part of spearhead teams. I love the idea. Yeah. What I would do, though, the best spearhead team I was ever on was actually not a spearhead of a mission. John Hibbard, myself, and somebody else, we did a short three-day walk in Lincoln, the wettest walk I've ever been on. And what we did, we walked during the day, but in the evenings we had activities. And I think if we did that, that'd be better than simply spearheading from place to place. So the spearhead with a view to preaching the gospel at the end of it. Yes, George.
I think that was the Lincoln Spine Walk.
Yeah.
We went from the Humber Bridge down to
Steve, give us a thought. What do you think this might work?
I think, you know, we've seen with the election that if you can get a movement going with people that like what they see, that these things can escape. So it's very much about playing into it, what God wants us to do now. And
God's longer-term plan to mobilize more people.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Josh. Men need a challenge, indeed. Yeah. David.
Wouldn't it be a good idea to prayer walk first?
Uh-huh. And then well, the whole of Britain or the yeah. No, just your local area.
Weekends.
Yeah, yeah. We could prayer walk our own local areas. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
Everything starts with prayer,
doesn't it? It does. Yeah.
If we knew anything for God, it has to start with prayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I walked in Cornwall and in Wales, St David's.
Yeah.
And I felt a benefit from doing it myself, but I think it was a benefit for the mission. Obviously, that was what we
did. Yeah. George?
I'd like to be in the team that goes from Lichfield North.
From Lichfield North? Okay. Yeah, so here's one practical question. Are we just thinking about events dotted around a spine? Or are we going to start at the ends and work to the middle, or start at the middle and work out? Just a few thoughts, just to give us... Huh? So start at the middle and work out. Okay. And what sort of time period do you think we'd talk about? Just to get... Because then you can pray into this a bit more accurately, you see. What sort of time period?
2 months.
2 months? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, Daniel. Thank you. Yeah. We've got about 5 more minutes of thoughts. Yes, before we'll pray later.
I've perhaps misunderstood all this concept from the start. Are you talking about a physical walk along a rough shape of a cross? Are you talking about concurrently setting up missions in all the towns and villages concurrently?
No, you're absolutely right. And those are the two big questions that I have. And that's why I'm seeking wisdom from within this room. Well, except that each person, if they acted, we have had, remember last year and the year before, I introduced the concept of regional reps, so people setting up TFM missions in their place. And we've had a few. I mean, the Bexhill, last week, was Martin West setting up one, just a mini mission for half a week in his place. That is what each one of us, if we committed to this, and hopefully more people as well, we could actually set up, I could certainly set something up in Margate, and that would be my job, and somebody else set it up where they are. So that would be a question. Whether we walked between the two is another issue, but we might need a few younger people to cover the whole of Britain, unless we did a mile or two each. These are just a few thoughts, early thoughts. But what I wanted to see, really, I'm just trying to see if there's any appetite for something of this scale, because it's a massive job. But how wonderful if we could pull this off with other organisations helping us, I might say. Yes. Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. That's a very nice idea. Yeah. Thank you, Andrew. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Yes. Sorry, I don't know your name.
Richard.
Yeah. I remember it now. Okay. Yeah, 6%. Yeah.
I'm saying, what if we centered on that area
Yeah. Linked to that, we had a wonderful chap on just after George had preached in Uppingham. He had a picture, an ex-TFMer actually. He came with a purple shirt on. He had a picture during the meeting of a pebble dropped into a paddling pool, but a huge paddling pool. And you might expect a ripple effect. He said there was no ripple at all. There was a wave that went over the edge of the paddling pool into the surrounding area. And one of the locals a few days previously had had a picture of the Holy Spirit as a wave in the area. And the sense of dramatic effects from a very small stone, the idea being that Uppingham was a tiny place in the tiniest county in the centre of England, suddenly the ripple effect, the wave effect spreading out from there. So yeah, I love that idea, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm.
Well, just hold on to these things. We'll stop there and give you time just to stretch your leg before we move on to the Irish connection.